Well, here we are. I know it's been quite some time since I've preached at Metropolitan, but this looks different from what I remember. More wind and streetcars, and definitely more dogs from what I remember. And maybe if you haven't been here a while, I might not be what you were expecting. You might be saying to yourself, well, he doesn't sound like John Joseph, and he sure doesn't look like Malcolm. It's true. Maybe you've never been here before. Maybe you've come in with a friend or relative. Maybe you've just come in on your way to somewhere else. Or maybe you're just here for the burgers after the service. And if so, great. Welcome. My name is Reverend Jason Myers, and I'm the new minister for congregational care here at Metropolitan United Church. And I'm privileged to be in ministry with Reverend Karen Bowles, Dr. Patricia Wright, the staff of Met, the Silver Band, and I am privileged to be in ministry with all of you. It's a big day. We gather today on the day of Pentecost, what many call the birth of the church, when the promised Spirit of God comes to disrupt what has been and inspire what is possible, when a new ministry is empowered and sent out into the world. We gather on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is so urgently present that it feels like fire. So urgently present, it's like an alarm going off. But before I tell you the story of the fire, I need to tell you the story of the tower. The story of the Tower of Babel found in the book of Genesis is one of humanity's origin stories. It's a foundational myth. It's an epic etymology that seeks to answer the question of why we have different languages in the world. It's also a story that speaks to human impulses of control and how God responds to these impulses with disruption and a movement towards diversity. We may call the story of the Tower of Babel a myth, but that does not make it untrue. So the story goes like this. In the generations after the great flood, the whole world spoke the same language. The people clustered together in an area called Shinar, the land between the Tigris and Euphrates river systems. And as the population grew, they started building a city dominated by a great tower, a tower they dreamt that could reach all the way to heaven. And when we have reached heaven, they said, when we have reached the very realm of God, then we shall make a name for ourselves. Then we will prove that there is nothing that we cannot do. And so they built and built higher and higher, stick and stone, mortar and sweat, higher and higher, more elaborate, more glorious. The tower became a symbol of human achievement, a rallying cry to keep building higher and higher, more glorious, so that one day they might reach the realm of God. Building the tower was all-encompassing, a single-minded pursuit, their reason for being. The tower became their common language. And the Lord said, look, they are one people and they have one common language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. In this story, God sees all this building and understands what's going on behind it. God sees through all this busyness and bustle. While the tower might be growing, the people are not. They are not learning anything new. They are not expanding their horizons. They have become stagnant, too inward focused. The reality is that they built not because they want to encounter God, but because they are afraid. They are afraid of whom they might be without the shield of busyness, afraid of being nothing without their symbol of human achievement. And they are afraid of a world in which they are not in control. You see, the world that God has built is not single-minded. It is full of complexity and uncertainty. It is wild. And rather than trying to live into that world, the people seek to isolate and protect themselves. And so they build a high tower, a fortress, a self-contained world where they are in control, not God. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. So we read that God intervenes, confuses their language, and scatters the people all over the face of the earth. It is a call to go into the world and to shape it and to be shaped by it. It is a divine movement towards what is unique, local, diverse. The story of the Tower of Babel is also the origin story of art, of language, humor, adventure. If every place was just like here, and everyone was just like us, there would be no curiosity, no wonder, no wow to life. Right here, right now, we sit at the delta of that divine movement. We sit in one of the most diverse places on the planet. Spend time in this spot, and you will hear a multitude of languages, difference of culture, difference of perspective, right here. And that is something to be celebrated. And yet we also see that even after God's call to diversity, even after the Tower of Babel was abandoned, the people did not. The people have not stopped their busyness and their building. Fortresses, prisons, border walls. We have not stopped trying to control. We are still afraid of the wildness of God's world. The new towers being built are the towers of commercialism and consumption. The big boxification of our society rips up the unique and lays down the same mind-numbing pattern of the same 20 corporate brands over and over again. Buy this and you will be happy. Wear that and you will be accepted. Drink this and you will find peace. Think that and you will make a name for yourself. And the new towers being built are towers of the mind. Fear and isolation, the siloing of thought, the echo chambering of expression. When we build the tower of fear, we become cynical and polarized. The right and the left talk past each other as if they were speaking different languages. And when we build the tower of isolation, we pull away from the world, from each other, and from God. We retreat into our fortresses, and the space left by our retreat is filled with a moat of poison. The poison of apathy that says the problems we face are too big. Climate change, homelessness, racism are too big to make a difference. The moat around our fortresses is filled with the poison of intolerance that says whatever is different must be evil and it must be destroyed. The moat around our fortresses is filled with the poison of injustice. Injustice that says, as long as we are okay, as long as we are safe and comfortable, it doesn't really matter what happens outside our walls. And the Lord says, this is only the beginning of what they will do. The disciples of Jesus have just gone through a period of trauma. They are trying to make sense of a world in which their friend and leader is no longer with them in the same way. Indeed, the whole book of Acts can be seen as the early church trying to navigate this new reality. Some of the disciples just want to go home and go back to what is familiar and safe. In fact, in Matthew and in John's accounts, that's exactly what they do. They go back to Galilee. But Luke, the writer of Acts, has them staying in Jerusalem, because it is in the city, in the metropolitan core, where something important will happen. Wait there for the promise of the Father, Jesus tells them. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And unlike other biblical accounts where the Holy Spirit comes like a gentle breath or a still small voice, or a dove descending from the heavens, things are very different, much more wild in the Pentecost moment. We read, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of violent wind. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. This is not a gentle breath. This is a slap upside the head. This is disruption. This is fire. It is serious business. but there's also a sense of wonder to the moment. The disciples start speaking in different languages, and some onlookers think that they're drunk, and Peter's all like, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And he's right, it's not the wine. What we're seeing is the Holy Spirit cracking through the walls of inhibition. And so the people are free to connect in ways that they couldn't before. The disciples can be understood because they're speaking a language that others can understand. If you want to see how this works, stop by a playground sometime and see how quickly kids who are strangers one second are playing as if they've always known each other the next. There is a common language that words transcend. There is a wild, boundary-defying power of the Spirit at work. Now, while we consider Pentecost as a specific moment in church history, the ramifications of that moment were to forever shape what the Church of Jesus Christ would and should be. From that moment, followers of Jesus changed the way they did things. The old class distinctions became irrelevant. Women held places of significance and leadership in the movement. They started holding all their money together and gave it out as it was needed to people both within and beyond the church. Pentecost did not abolish diversity. It did not seek to make everything and everyone the same. It empowered the church to fully engage with the complexity and uncertainty and diversity of the world, and to respond with grace and kindness. The church had power not because of what it had built, but because what it stood for, because it started speaking the language of the world. I think it can be said that we are now in our own Pentecost moment. As a church nationally, but also specifically here at Metropolitan as well. We are in a time of transition, of change, of uncertainty, of new language, and that can be scary. And the impulse may be to entrench, to protect what we've got for as long as we can. This is fortress mentality, and we know where that leads. But I think we're on a different path, a very different path. Consider these words from a poem by our very own Patricia Orr. The people had come and had brought God with them, and the place came alive with the light of being and becoming. And they would come, and they would go, and the light they followed would somehow follow them. That's it, I think. Right now, we stand at the foot of this tower that our forebears built, this tower that the fire of 1928 could not burn. This tower of ours is not a fortress. It is a beacon of light, a beacon that displays the character of the disciples who come and go from this place. When people see this tower, may they know what language is spoken here. May they know because they have heard it, felt it, experienced it. From this tower, may all hear the universal language of compassion. May all feel the transformative language of hope. From this tower, may all experience the boundary-defying language of love. And may this language be so clarion, so clear, that all people, all animals, all creatures, great and small, understand it. Whatever light we have been given, it is not ours alone. The light we follow, we are to take back out into the world. The theologian Cornel West reminds us, justice is what love looks like in public. The realm of God is not in some tower we need to build. It is here. Right here, right now. This is the day of Pentecost, the day the promised Spirit of God comes to disrupt what has been and inspire what is possible. This is the day the disciples of Jesus set down their fear and go back into this wild and beautiful and diverse world to be the church of wonder and awe, the church of service and grace. From this corner, we are to be a beacon, to shine like a great cathedral of kindness. This is how we will make a name for ourselves. And the Lord says, this is only the beginning of what they will do together. May it be so. Amen.